It is time for the word. If you would be so kind to turn your Bibles or look to the screen to Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Again, Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. We're going to be reading out of the New King James Version. And again, we are looking at the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority." Verse number 8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." May the Lord have a blessing to the hearing and the reading of his holy and inspired word. If I could just preach from the subject on this particular Sunday, sunrise of hope. Sunrise of hope. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask that you would do only what you can do. Lord, send your power. Send your power down, Lord, so that we might hear from you, hear from heaven. Lord, that we might be the reliable witnesses that you have called us to be, not only hearers but doers of your word. Father God, you have laid before us a mandate that there is hope, and if obedience would resonate in our souls and our spirits, that you would move in our lives, that we would see the blessings and the glory of the Lord. So, Father God, let this word go forth. Let the people allow this word to manifest in their spirits. Move like you ain't never moved before in the lives of here your people. And then, Father God, if there's someone who knows you not, Lord, let them confess. Let them repent and let them turn their lives over to the care of the Father. So, Lord, let this word do what it was intended to do, and that is to save a sinner, strengthen a saint, heal, deliver, and set free. That is our prayer in the mighty, matchless, resurrected name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We do pray. Amen. 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 Again, we're going to preach out of the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. And the subject matter is Sunrise of Hope. It was a week after the resurrection. And what an emotional roller coaster ride the disciples had been on. 2 weeks prior, people were wildly cheering at Jesus' ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. They were paving his way with palm branches and their coats as they made a royal road for Jesus. They were celebrating what they thought was Jesus' coronation as king. Many thought that Jesus was setting himself up as the conquering king. At least, that was what they hoped for. What a high that must have been. They must have laughed and shouted as they celebrated that week. But the celebration hit a somber note that evening at the Seder meal that came to be known as the Last Supper. Jesus took the bread and said that this is my body. He took the wine and said, this is my blood. Eat and drink in remembrance in me. I believe that that was a strange thing to say. He was right there with the disciples. Then Jesus said something that really messed the disciples up. He told them that his betrayer was sitting right in the room with them. Can you imagine the bewilderment, their doubt, or even their guilt? I can see them now sitting at the table, and they begin to ask, is it me? Was it me? Am I the betrayer? If you don't know, now you know. We all have the root of sin buried deep within our hearts. We all are capable of rebellion, deceit, and betrayal. Horrified, the disciples began wondering who amongst them was the weakest link. My. Surprisingly, it was the one with the most power and seemed the strongest that would betray and desert Jesus, Judas. You know, Judas was the financial authority of this group. He's the one that handled the money. He's the one that did all the payments. And so Judas is the one that would betray Jesus. But let's not forget about Peter. You know, the knife-carrying Peter? The one who so loudly and vehemently declared that he would never desert Jesus and did. They all would be scattered like frightened little kids before the week was out. Understand, whenever you have an emotional high, you can be sure a corresponding low soon will follow. I know I'm right about it because in this text, you will see that before the week was out, the horror of Friday's crucifixion would set them back and they would experience a low as they never felt when Jesus was with them. They shut themselves behind locked doors. They hid themselves away in fear for their lives. We do the same thing. Defeated. Circumstances, life, relationships, all kinds of things that we face today. And when they don't go the way we would like them to go, we have a spirit of defeat. And we hide and lock ourselves away, never experiencing what truly God is trying to show us and give us. But I got good news for all that are under the sound of my voice. Don't worry, because following your lowest low will come another emotional high. If you hang on to the sunrise of hope. Ooh, I know I'm right about it, because after the clouds will come the sun. After defeat comes victory. After despair comes hope. Beloved, if you are a man or woman of faith, no matter how dark and dreary the day may be, no matter how defeated and hopeless things seem to be, never ever give up. It is the one who endures to the end that will be saved. Jesus said it, and I believe it, and that should settle it. This is not an option for you and me. We are men and women of faith. And we must endure. You see, it is our tendency to hide ourselves away when we are down. We vegetate, meaning that we live in and spend in a period of time in a dull, inactive, unchallenging way. If I could stick a pen and make a point, that's the reason why church membership and church participation is at an all-time low, because we look at the things before us, like this pandemic, and we realize that because we can't do what we used to normally do, that we cannot celebrate or worship God the way we used to. But God is doing a new thing, and we have to be adherents to what God is doing and not what our eyes see and not what the world is trying to dictate in our lives. You cannot continue to allow the world to consume you in thinking that because you cannot worship God the way you used to, that those things are now past and distant. Don't do that. Don't do that, beloved, because it will only cause you to sink even lower. I know I'm right about it, because the disciples was doing that until Jesus appeared again before them. And when they saw Jesus, and Jesus showed them the infallible proof that he is who he said he was before and during the resurrection, they did something that we should be doing right now, and that is praying and fellowshipping. Why, Pastor? Why should prayer and fellowship be a necessity to why we are and why we do what we do? It is because Good Friday wasn't so good. It crushed all their dreams and hopes. Their world came apart. For over 3 years, they had left everything to follow Jesus. And now he lays dead in a cold tomb. Or did he? Imagine the joy the disciples had when Jesus appeared among them. He talked with them. He ate with them. They even touched him. Sorrow turned to joy, and despair turned to delight. Hopelessness was filled with anticipation. I can imagine how those Bible studies and prayer meetings took on a whole new different tone. Jesus was walking with them, and he was interacting with them for over a month before he would ascend to heaven before their very eyes. They had a new hope and a new joy in their lives that they would never had before. And that's what Jesus does when he is present. It was a week later. The disciples was walking in obedience. Before long, the joy deep within their hearts that would never leave them. Faith kept it burning strong. God will never allow us to face life without him physically walking beside us. If we would just walk in obedience, there's a blessing in your obedience. Salvation, Holy Spirit, eternal life, and God's love. Obedience opens the door to heaven's blessings. Don't think that God will smile on you when you're walking in willful disobedience. Don't think you will enjoy the blessings of heaven if you are living contrary to God's will for your life. So I recommend that you walk in obedience and you walk in his love. Walk in obedience and you will walk in his blessings. I remember the joy I felt when I came to Jesus. I remember the sorrow and the darkness and the despair I felt without Jesus when I invited him as my Savior and Lord. The skies seemed bluer. The grass seemed greener, and my life seemed sweeter. That's what happens when you put your faith in Christ. The anticipation of heaven, the confidence that you are never alone, the knowledge that you will never face anything that you and Jesus can't handle together. So walk in service to the King. Become more like Christ. Make the world a better place. Be a blessing to other people. Build the body that builds the church. Grow in the Lord. Mature in the Lord. Because there's a sunrise of hope. The resurrection is over. But God is still alive. We are saved to serve. We need to do kingdom business. We got to be about kingdom building. Because there's a sunrise of hope. Jesus didn't die for nothing. Jesus died because he loved us. Jesus died so that we might have life. I'm so glad that there's a sunrise before us. The pandemic might have been a curse, but I look to Jesus and I see a blessing, because God is not finished yet. He's coming back and one thankful day. We don't know the time or the season, but we better get ready for his coming. We need to mobilize and we need to dispatch. We need to tell somebody that he lives and that we can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone. Why do I say that? Because I know who holds the future, and life is worth the living because he lives. And because he lives, there's a sunrise of hope. The doors of the church are open.